Our attention, particularly on the passage of scripture that I read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. I will make reference to the reading that David took in Daniel. But in particular, I want us to keep in our mind verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it. A fortnight ago, it's amazing actually when I don't come to church for 1 week, preaching elsewhere, it seems as though it's an age since I was last with you. But it was only a fortnight ago when we were here on the Sunday evening and we were looking at that great promise that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And we look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return and his glory will be displayed. It is a glorious message. It is a glorious hope. But we can have the wrong idea on it. We can have the wrong perspective. And we can be in danger of thinking, well, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to earth 2,000 years ago, and there will be progress. Things will get better, and eventually the day will come when this world is so glorious that it will be time for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. I don't believe that that is how things will happen. And I don't believe that because of the message that I want to bring this evening and the emphasis that I want us to bring. I want us to look at that hope again, the glory of the Lord filling the earth. But I want us to see what will happen before that. And I want us to look at that great promise through, if you like, a New Testament lens or a New Testament perspective. When Jesus was born, it might be said that the angels pierced the darkness. The shepherds were watching over their flocks by night, and we are told that the heavens were opened, and an angel spoke, and then a great host of the heavenly host spoke the praise of our God. There was darkness, but suddenly there was light. Darkness pierced by the angels, by the messengers of God. And I believe it will be the same when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Matthew 24 tells us that when the Son of Man returns, and that's another name for Jesus, when he returns, people will be living as they were in the days of Noah, or as in the days of Lot. And those of you who know your Bibles will know that the days of Noah, the days of Lot, were days of great sinfulness. So we shouldn't be surprised by a world that is turning away from God, a world that is becoming increasingly opposed to God. Things will get darker, but into that darkness will come the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is with that sort of perspective that Paul writes to Timothy this letter that we have read together this evening. And verse 14 begins with that statement, "But as for you," and what Paul is saying is things will get dark. But Timothy, I'm writing to you as a Christian. I'm writing to you as a minister of the gospel. And I'm writing to you to be different from everyone around you. So let's look at what I've described as the deepening darkness. Verse 14 is a direct message to Timothy. But if you look back in the previous verse, Paul describes what will happen with other people. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this is Paul's perspective on things, that the world will grow worse and worse. Many today want to say that there will be peace on earth, and if we move in this direction, we will produce peace. But God, through Paul, is saying to us that evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse. This word evil here actually starts the verse in the Greek. And Paul is wanting to emphasize the fact that these people are not just bad. These people have not just moved the goalposts of Christianity. These people are opposed to the things of God. They're wicked. There is a maliciousness about them. And in fact, the word can also be used to translate the word slothful or lazy. They don't want to make an effort. Now, if you go back to the opening verses of this chapter, verses 1 to 5, you will find the details that Paul gives about this evil, about this darkness. Verse 1, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Fine, a general statement. And then Paul is very specific. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Reading that through, you have, if you like, a description of the world in which we live. Paul uses 19 different words or phrases to describe godless behavior. And we could pick out any one of them. And as I was reading it, I was thinking, boy, I could preach a series of studies on this. It might become a little depressing, but it would be insightful. And notice where he starts. For people will be lovers of self. And, Paul is reading or writing here a list of the things that turn us away from God. And this is so important. And it's certainly a commentary on the world in which we live. What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? I didn't feel that I got anything from that, so I have turned away from it. The world revolves around me. And this is where Paul begins with his description of the darkness that overcomes the world. Notice where he ends in verse 5. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. There are people who want to be religious. They would want to call themselves Christians. We read the Bible, or certain parts of it anyway. We believe that Jesus was a good teacher, but they're not prepared to see Jesus as God's sacrifice for sin. They're not prepared to see Jesus as the Lord who should take authority in our lives. They're not prepared to see that when Christianity is, if you like, in its apex, in its climax, then it is life-changing. People do not want to be changed. They have an appearance of godliness. But change? Power? You expect me to be different? Yes, friends. Christianity does demand that we are different. It demands that we're born again, that things change in the way that we approach life. And sadly, many people can have a form of religion, but they do not declare the truth and in their lives or in the way they live. Now, Paul was very concerned about this. And if you go back to his previous letter to Timothy, so immediately before this, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, you get him talking about other things that show false teaching. 1 Timothy 4, and here we'll be reading verses 1 to 4. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Do you see it there? False religion saying, oh no, if you are going to be holy, you should not marry. If you're going to be holy, you should not eat this food, or you should eat that food. And we get that time and time again today, don't we? A denial of the good things that God has given to us. But notice what Paul says in verse 4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. False teachers will always want to add to the teaching of the Bible. They might do it with good intentions. We want to be able to help you to live in the right way. But friends, as soon as we say to somebody, if you're going to be a Christian, you have to live like this, then we have missed the truth of the gospel, because the gospel says to us that we are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will come into our lives, and the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. He is the one who will teach us the right way to live. Now, Paul is describing the darkness that will come before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to Timothy and chapter 3, I've pointed out to you from verse 1, we can't go through all of these. We will be here too long. But notice in verse 3, he begins by talking about being heartless. And the idea behind this word is without family affections. And if one thing is under attack in our day and age, it is the family that God has given to us. And I'm not simply thinking about mum and dad and two children, which is the sort of accepted norm, but I'm talking about the whole principle of family life, where God has given to us parents and has given to us children within that marriage, but he's also given us grandparents. He has given us relatives. You think of how marriage is neglected in our day and age. People don't know who their relatives are. People don't know who their grandparents were. And there is not that great intimacy. But I want to look at this from the other side as well. Young mums who may have made mistakes in life and have gone about the procreation of children in the wrong way and according to the wrong pattern, or maybe families who have got into difficulty. We are living in a world which says, take the children from those people and we will do with them what is good and right. I am not knocking social services. They do a great work. But Scripture shows us that God has given us the family. And where families hit problems, it is far better that we as the church, we as wider families, surround that young couple, that young mum, and give to them the love and support that they need. In a way, we live in a heartless society that Paul is describing here. And what drives this? Well, if we go back to verse 13, Paul is saying that people will, let's see, verse 13. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And sadly, we live in a world that is wandering, because that's what this word deceiving means. It's wandering from the truth of God's word. It is allowing other influences to come in. We are living in what the President of the United States would say is an age of fake news. And people are getting the wrong ideas out there. What is it doing? It is producing instability. And we live in our own culture, let alone what is going on in America, in a country that is changing the rules. I don't know if you noticed in Daniel chapter 3, as David read it tonight, Nebuchadnezzar introduced a new law that everyone should worship his idol of gold. In Daniel chapter 6, the same thing was done. The law was changed, and it was said that nobody can pray to any other god other than to the king. The law was changed. Why? Because people wanted to trap those who were godly. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were cast into the fiery furnace because they would not change God's law. Daniel was thrown into the den of lions because he would not change God's law and his practice of worship. Friends, the majority of us did not have to redefine marriage years ago because God had given us the principles of marriage in the Scriptures. One man, one woman, in a lifelong commitment. But it's been redefined. The law has been changed. And what's going to be the result of it? Those who stand on God's law will be seen as lawbreakers. But friends, we're not standing on our own law. As we sang earlier, we are standing on every promise of his word. Friends, we are living in a deepening darkness, a darkness that is turning away from the light of God's word. But I want us to see now a Bible but. So often in the Bible, when but is introduced, there is a new truth, there is a new emphasis that comes in. And Paul says to Timothy, this young minister, but as for you, this is in verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. He's saying, don't be influenced by the deepening darkness. Don't be influenced by the changing rules and laws. He said exactly the same thing when he wrote to the Roman church. He said, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. And he says, do not follow so-called Christian teachers who want to pervert the truth that God has given to us. Essentially, Paul is giving Timothy a very positive instruction, and he's giving him a very positive example. He uses two important verbs. Here in verse 14, he uses the word continue. If you go back to verse 10, you will see that he uses the word follow or followed. Continue literally means to remain or to stay. And what Paul is saying here is remain in the truth that I have taught you. Remain in the principles of God's word. And when he's talking about the word follow, he's saying follow closely. Stay in company. Stay in company with whom? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he called his disciples, he said to them, follow me. And he was saying, don't keep following the teachers that you've already got, but follow me. And this is the principle of Scripture. Paul actually says this in a number of his letters, in Philippians and in 1 Corinthians. He tells his readers, he tells his listeners to follow him. Now, that can seem incredibly arrogant, but what is Paul calling Timothy to follow? Or what is he, in fact, commending him for already having done? Well, go and look at verse 10 and 11. He says, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, and notice this, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Paul here, having given 19 words to describe the darkness, he is now giving 9 examples from his own life that need to be followed. And that might include persecution. Again, as David was praying tonight, he alluded to something that I was not aware of, that rules have been changed in China, and it will become increasingly difficult for Christians to be employed and to go to university. Well, friends, you go back 450, 500 years to the days of the Puritans and the Reformation in this country, and it was exactly the same. Unless you were prepared to conform to the state religion, then you could not go on. But Paul is saying here, look, I've given you an example. I've shown you what it means to stand up in the darkness. Friends, living the Christian life is not simple. It will never be easy. But Scripture gives us calls to stand, and it gives us examples of those who have stood in the darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, said to his disciples, do your good works before other people so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he made a similar call. In Ephesians 2 and verse 15, he wrote this, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. This morning, somebody was speaking about the supplement that we're putting together, and which is an ongoing work. And they said to me, when I see supplement or screen on the hymn board, I think we will learn a new hymn. But this morning we had 2 particularly old hymns, hymns that have helped God's people throughout the centuries. And I'm sure there's a hymn that many of you knew. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light. And we are to be candles. We are to be lights in the darkness. You go back into the Old Testament and you will find men who were prepared to stand alone. Joseph, as a slave in Egypt, stood for his God. He stood and gave an example of these things that Paul has written about here. Daniel and his three friends that we've already mentioned. Recently, I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah, and he had to preach to God's people when they were turning away. Now, did he compromise his message? Did he change his message? Did he say, okay, well, everybody's going in that direction. I will go in that direction. No, time and time again, he had to stand up and he had to say, look, we're at a road junction. You can head in that direction, but it's not the right way. We have to head in this direction. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, we have to follow the straight and the narrow way. Paul says something very profound in verse 10. He says, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life. There was nothing random about Paul's life. He knew what he wanted to do. In 1 Corinthians, he puts it like this, that woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He wanted the message to be out there and to be preached to everybody. In Romans 15 and also in 2 Corinthians 10, he said, I want to preach where other people have never preached. I want the message to go to those who have never heard. Friends, does that drive us? We live in an age of church planting when different churches are trying to establish new courses. Are we driven by the same desire to be able to tell people that Christ has come into the world to save sinners? So we've seen a deepening darkness. We've seen a Bible but, and my third point this evening is a faith worth following. And here we come to verse 15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul says that Timothy had been taught the Bible, and in the end of verse 14, he said to him, knowing from whom you have learned it. And in chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul calls Timothy to follow the teaching that he had given to him. He says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And Paul, I don't believe, is being arrogant here, because in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, as we introduce the communion service, we say it every time we come to the communion, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Paul was not trying to teach a new message. He wanted to teach what the Lord Jesus Christ had taught him. Now, many times, Paul referred to my gospel. But his gospel was no different from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the gospel that Jesus had taught him when he had taken him aside just after his conversion. And he talks about that in Galatians 1. What was the gospel that Paul preached? Well, he says in Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And friends, tonight, I want to remind you, We focused on this morning, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And if you have never been saved, if you have never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to forgive you, then you are poorly equipped to face your own death. You are poorly equipped to move into eternity. In fact, I would go as far as to say you're totally ill-equipped or unequipped to move into eternity. Paul says, you are to follow my message. You are to follow my faith. But notice what he says here about knowing this message from childhood. Now, we're told in Acts chapter 16 that Paul's father was a Greek, and therefore he would have worshipped the great collection of Greek gods. But at the beginning of this letter, in chapter 1, Paul talks about Timothy's grandmother and his own mother. Verse 5 of chapter 1, "For I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." And Paul is saying that Timothy had not only learnt the message from Paul, but he'd learnt it from his mother and from his grandmother. Mums here tonight, do you understand the value of your position? God has given you children that you are able to teach the word of God. Grandmothers, do you realize how supportive you can be of your children, and you can encourage your grandchildren? You can teach them. You can live the example that Paul has talked about here, and you can shape their lives. Ladies, married or unmarried, widowed, see the value that God has given to you and be an encourager of our young mums. Support them. Come alongside them, that we might see the children of our church built up. It thrills my heart to see the children come here on a Sunday morning and fill these first two or three benches, depending on how many are here. It thrills me to see them this evening. They are here. They are hearing the word of God, and they are being built up. Paul gives Timothy an example and a message, but he also recognized the precious influence of a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And having spoken of his grandmother and his mother, he then explains the message that they had taught him and that Paul taught. And here in chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says this, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but sharing suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." I want to ask you tonight, do you understand the gospel? Paul here talks about being saved. Are you saved? Are you saved from a pointless life, a life that will destroy you and will destroy other people? Are you saved from the judgment of God at the close of this world, when we will be either ushered into the presence of God or into the judgment of God in a Christless hell? Christ has come to save And verse 9 says, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Now, being holy is not a popular term today. But what is Paul talking about here? He's talking about a life that is lived according to the principles of God's word. A life that loves other people, a life that honors other people, a life that supports marriage, a life that respects personal differences, and a life that is lived in accordance with the gospel. And then there at the end of those verses that I quoted, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to look at eternity and think, what is going to happen? Death has been conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection says that Jesus has conquered death, and he can give to all who believe eternal life. And as Paul goes on in that first chapter, in verse 12, he says, which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Friends, God entrusted Paul with the gospel. God entrusted Paul with eternal life. God has entrusted us with the gospel. Have you believed the gospel? Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he the one who has saved you and is saving you? We are living in dark days. But just as it was said of Jesus that the darkness did not overcome him, so the darkness has not overcome the gospel. It has not overcome us as Christians. So tonight, I call you, as Paul called Timothy, to continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it. Be a light in the darkness, to the glory and to the praise of our God. Amen.